I'm not from there. I'm from Boston. So I wouldn't say y'all, but I love it. I love to hear it anyway. Just have some announcements. Pastor is away. And I think him and Sue got a well-deserved, like, trip somewhere. I don't know where. Or getaway. So we are happy for that. And those of you that came in and then Rick and Jim wouldn't let you out, I'm sorry, but you stuck with me. It's okay. It's going to be a good night. Thank you for that laugh. Oh, gosh. All right. So just a few things, and then we want to pray for the Fortins and the Rodriguezes. So here are the announcements. Tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m., there will be an IAGM Zoom meeting with Wade and Paula Johnson from Southeast Asia. They are in Indonesia, right? Indonesia. And so, excuse me, if you want to join that Zoom meeting, you just need to email the office for the link and the passcode to participate in that. These Thursday nights have been great. We've had a few missionaries present, and we're hoping that we'll get a bunch of people tomorrow. So if you want our email, it's office@lgministries.org, and just say, I'd like to hear the missionary tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon at 4, okay? And then this coming Saturday from 11 to 1, we are going to be having, is that this Saturday? Okay, we are having our Easter candy giveaway. That's the 26th, right? 26th of this month. Okay, and in prayer event at Roosevelt Heights, which is right across from Roosevelt Elementary, and we'll be giving out bags of candy to the kids and a special treat for the adults too, and we'll be praying with the cars that come up, and it's just going to be a great time. So I would imagine most people that know Katie and Martine know what happened to Martine. He is, this is Rick and Becky's daughter and son-in-law, Rick's daughter and son-in-law. Martine is in heaven. There was an accident the other day, and he is now in heaven. And which was, how old was Martine? How old, Martine, Rick? 30, I'm asking a father. He was 38 or somewhere in there, right? Anyway, he's in heaven, and we're going to pray because Rick and Becky are going to be heading back to Baltimore. We're going to pray for that. We want to just lift up Katie and the kids and just do that as a body right now. Okay, so God, we just lift up Katie to you, God, your faithful, faithful servant, and their three wonderful children. God, we pray that you would just grace them now and be with them with the loss, the separation of their dad for this period, this season, and just be with them and bring life and sustain them and hold them up. Use the body of Christ as you already are. I understand that they're just being so embraced by the body. So use the beautiful body of Christ there in Baltimore to take care of the needs there and the void. And we just praise you. We thank you, God. We're going to thank you right now that Martine is in your presence. He is with you. And wow. We're going to speak tonight on beholding the Lamb, and he's beholding the Lamb. So we just praise you, and we thank you for that and for his life. And so bless the message tonight, God. We pray that you'll just bless this word, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Joey, where's Joey? There you are. Did you get your water? Okay, good. I just want to make sure you got your water. Hey, Rick, you got another one of those? Because I just got like real, I had that happen one time. Not from you, Joey. You just drink your, but I just like totally dried up. Oh, there, my wife's got one there. Okay. All right. Yeah, and that's never good when that happens. And I get very like distracted. Thank you. Thank you, honey. I kiss her, but she had a mask on. Darn it. No. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I read a devotional. I shared some of this with our dorm students not long ago. And it was a morning devotional, I think, on March 14th, called Behold the Lamb. And it just stirred my heart. And that's what this message is based on tonight, is that devotional. But I want to go through some things. Let's turn in the Word of God tonight to John chapter 1. And I'm just going to read these brief portions. John the Baptist came into the scene and was preaching repentance and deliverance. He was preaching to the nation of Israel, and he was saying, make straight the way of the Lord. And he was fanatical, right? Because he had this urgency and determination as a prophet to have Israel in a place of repentance. And there was where they would change their hearts towards God. Remember now, Israel had been in a state of disbelief for a very extended period of time. I think by the time Christ came, I could be wrong on my math, but I think by the time Christ came, we're probably talking 1,700 years, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but probably 1,700 or 1,800 years if I'm somewhere in the vicinity where, you know, from the time that little nation, that little Hebrew nation grew up and was 470 years in Egypt, struggling and under oppression. And then they were delivered, the nation, and they became a nation, and they were delivered through the Red Sea. And we had all these years of wandering, right, that they went through because of what? Disbelief. And then we have this kind of little time where there was some golden years under Solomon and so on, and then captivity took place, and Israel was devastated and carried away. We could get into the divided kingdoms, but we're not going to do that right now. But it was persecution, suffering, unbelief, and John the Baptist was in this place where he was like, repent, the Savior is coming. Make way, we're going to make the path straight. Repent, he's coming. And then we see here in John chapter 1, and I'm not going to read a whole bunch here, but in verse 29, he says, if I can find it, there it is. Next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, wherefore I am come baptizing with water. And we'll just stop right there. We'll go right down a little bit further to verse 36. And this is the next day. Jesus Christ is there. John the Baptist is there with two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus in verse 36, he walked and he saith, behold the Lamb of God. It's like there was this, as you read it in the Greek, there was this amazing, like, emphasis of stop everything you're doing. Behold, the Lamb of God is here to deliver, to judge, to bring judgment, and to bring things into order again. So repent. And then the Lamb comes, Jesus Christ comes, and he says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. And I want to just focus on that tonight, because I don't know, sometimes it's like we just get so occupied with the details of life, or we kind of browse through the Bible and kind of skim through, what do I got today, you know, and it can become very general. But I want to be specific tonight when in reference to the Lamb. We don't have a lot of time. We could take some time, but I want to look back to the sacrificial system just for a little bit, and I'm going to go over it quickly, and I encourage you to do in-depth study on the Levitical offerings and what they meant. See, we believe here that the Word of God is profitable, right? For not just the New Testament, but from Genesis to Revelation, we have been given the Word of God. And we look at the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. In the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. It's like it's there. And when we read the New Testament, we start seeing what that Old Testament is all about. And there's this complete, unbelievable, sophisticated in the sense of robust, full, like comprehensive definition of who God is, his character, the heart of God, the sacrifice of God, the reason for the sacrifice, the necessity for the sacrifice. It's all there. And a lot of us, it's like, I don't want to go there. Leviticus, forget it. You know, that's where I stop reading. Genesis, pretty cool. You know, Exodus, yeah, pretty cool. But Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, we start to lose it there. Okay, let's pop ahead to John, right? When we take a good look at what was going on, when we look at the Old Testament and the sacrificial system, we see the fulfillment that comes in Jesus Christ. And we start to deeply appreciate the meaning of what the Lamb really meant, who the Lamb really was. And so I'm going to go through this quickly, and I'm just going to talk about the five offerings in the Old Testament that led to reconciliation with God. It brought people to an even place with God. And we're going to talk about, just stay with me, I'm going to give you some verses, I hope you jot these things down. But there were five different offerings that led to reconciliation with God, and this is the Levitical system. And this was established, if you remember, the tabernacle, it was the entire sacrificial system. And you're going to see a lot of this in Leviticus. Basically, by the way, if you want an easy memory system, Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were the five offerings. 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. And they explain the offerings that Israel was to offer. So I'm going to just mention the offerings, not get into detail, but just give you a New Testament verse for the fulfillment. You want to read, by the way, about the great high priest and the lamb, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You read through the book of Hebrews, and you'll start to really get a grasp on who the Lamb is and what he's done on our behalf. Because Jesus Christ became both the Lamb, the offering, and he was also the great high priest. He did both roles. And he did it, and he fulfilled the sacrificial system so that it didn't have to continually be taking place as it was in Israel. And for so many years, the amount of bloodshed that took place through the offerings, it was unbelievable. You know, the sacrificial system and the blood and the blood had to be shed. There's a lot of people today that say, no, it's the death. It was the death and it was the blood. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, without the blood, there's no remission for sin. There had to be a blood offering. It's the way God arranged it. There had to be an offering. And the offerings that were given in the Old Testament were critically important. And guess what? They were substitutionary offerings. They took place, the people in the Old Testament, those that worship God, they would bring these offerings to the altar, to the tent, the edge of the tent, and they would present these offerings, and they'd put their hands on these offerings, and they'd confess their sins, and then they'd give a lot of people believe that the offerer actually slit the throat of the offering so that the blood could be presented to the priest, and then the priest would take over from there. Whether or not it was the individual or the priest, it doesn't really matter. They would put their hands on the offering that they were bringing forth, and they would confess their sins, and they would lay their sins, basically, in essence, on the animal. So it was this animal. Isn't it interesting? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. The animal, it's important. And they would put their hands and they would confess their sins, and the sins of that person would be laid on the animal, the sacrifice. And it would take away. We'll talk about more about that in a minute. But there was first of all, there was the burnt offering. The burnt offering is in Leviticus chapter 1, 1 through 17. And this was basically the burnt offering. There's a lot to this, but it was the thorough and complete offering of the individual. Burnt offering, the whole animal was given up and it was divided up. There was parts that were given to the priests and so on, but for the most part, it was all burnt. And it was this complete offering that would go up, and the smoke would be a scent to God, and so there was this. It was a very complete offering. It was the burnt offering, and Jesus Christ offers himself to God as the sacrificial lamb, and we have this in Hebrews 9:14. So again, good. Good. If you want to take notes, I was going to have the presentation, and I'm sorry, I just didn't have time. But Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot unto God. He was our burnt offering. He was the one that would give all of himself to God, and that would be on our behalf. And he was the spotless Lamb of God. Remember, all the offerings that were to take place in the Levitical system had to be spotless. They were unblemished. The principle there is without sin. It was Jesus Christ who came and became the burnt offering for us, fully giving himself entirely to God and on our behalf. Then number two, there was the grain meal offering, and this is in Leviticus chapter 2, 1 through 16. This was the one offering that was not a blood offering, but I'll briefly explain what this was. Here Jesus is so this was the meal offering. It was not meat. There was no blood that was given here. No blood required. And what this does is it represents in his life, it represents his life, Christ in his life. Not in his death as the other offerings. And it shows us here that Christ is the mediator. And I'm not going to get into it a whole bunch. There's a lot of details here too. But he becomes, this is representative of a mediator between humans and God. There had to be a mediator. And that's what the meal offering represented. That's what he was offering to be for us, a mediator. And that's that priestly role, by the way. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ, the Lamb." I put that in there. It's the Lamb of God. He is the meal offering. He satisfied, he completed the whole concept of what God was requiring here for hundreds and hundreds of years for the people of Israel. And then the third thing is there's what's called the peace offering. And this offering is in Leviticus chapter 3, 1 through 17. And also it's found throughout Leviticus. I'm just not going to give you all the verses right now. But this peace offering was something that was necessary to actually bring reconciliation. When we say reconciliation, we kind of have this idea of being brought back or bought back. The idea of reconciliation is where peace happens. Peace, the word for peace in the Greek is eirene, and it means to be brought to an even place with God, reconciled. Like this does not equal fellowship with God, right? This is me, this is God. This is out of fellowship, no communion, no fellowship. This is reconciliation when we're brought to this even place of fellowship and communion with God. That had to take place, and there had to be an offering for that. And that was the peace offering, and there was bloodshed, and it was the Lamb that brought us to this place of reconciliation, peace with God. When I was over in Cambodia, we talked about sometimes people have this idea where they bring their offering to God, but they never have peace and reconciliation. They just like throw it on the altar and leave. They're in other words, like, I'm guilty, I've sinned, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, and then they beeline it from the altar, and they never enter in to the Holy of Holies, where they can enter into fellowship because of the blood of Jesus Christ, peace, into that place of peace. We, through the finished work in the Lamb of Jesus Christ, have peace with God, where we can have communion with God now, today. This is an amazing thing, right? It's because of the Lamb. It's because of the Lamb of God. It's because of Jesus Christ propitiating and literally dying as a sacrifice in my place, in your place. This is the Lamb of God. See, there's a lot going on here, isn't there? So we have this mediator. We have this peace from God. We have somebody totally in our stead completely. What's the penalty, and what are the wages of sin, rather? What are the wages of sin? Death, right? There's no if, and, or, buts about it. The wages of sin is death. And every single one of us has come short of the glory of God. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be blood. I know it's ugly, and I know a lot of our contemporary culture today does not like the thought of that, right? Don't even talk about that. That's such an ugly, messy religion. This Christian concept of Christ sacrificing. I'm sorry, but it had to happen. And here's some of the reasons why. God knew what he was doing, and he knew in his holiness, he knew what was needed. And so thus the sacrificial system. It brings us in touch with how holy God really was and is. There had to be a sacrifice. The next offering was the sin offering. And this is where we had to get forgiveness. There had to be, I know these kind of overlap and blend a little bit, but specifically, the sin offering in Leviticus 4, 1 through 35, it shows Christ giving himself once again so that our sins could be forgiven. And by the way, this goes to forgiveness. This goes to guilt. This goes to shame. The only thing, by the way, if you have shame in your life, the only thing, and we all do, but some of us have shame, we bear it, and it's painful. The only thing that can ever deal with shame, not psychology, not some recreation of what really did happen, some reframe, the only thing that can ever deliver us from shame and guilt is the precious blood of the Lamb. And it fully and completely takes care of it. And I just wanted to let you know today that if you bear shame, and again, we all do, it's Calvary. It's the blood of Calvary. It's the blood of the Lamb that takes care of it all. The question is, will I receive the Lamb? Will I behold the Lamb in my life for the guilt and the shame? There's nothing worse than shame, by the way. Shame is so disabling. You know, people forgive, and that's serious. That's a big deal too, living with unforgiveness. But shame is something that's so crippling. It's like, I am worthless because of something that I've done. That's shame. Forgiveness, you can be forgiven by a person. I remember in the Vietnam, in Time magazine, remember the little girl that was being burned, running away from the city where we accidentally dropped some big bad bombs. I can't remember her name, but she got saved. She got saved, that little girl. You guys, I don't know if you remember, if you're my dispensation, it was that little girl running away naked down from the road of the town that had just been blown up, and she was running away. That little girl got saved, and she went back to the person who gave the order to drop the napalm, whatever it was that day, and she went back. She became a Christian. She said, "I forgive you." and you're okay. You don't have to bear that anymore, you know? Forgiveness. Shame, though, is a different thing. Shame is when you know what you've done, you believe it can't even be forgiven. You know, it's crippling and it's demoralizing and it takes away from you as a person. It's just deeper. We won't go into that right now, but only the blood of Christ takes care of that. And he did it. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb who taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb. And then it goes on to, so Jesus Christ was that sin offering. I've got a little delayed, a little waylaid there. He hath made him to be sin for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He hath made him, the Lamb, to be sin on our behalf. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, John 1:30. Right? This is the sin offering, Jesus Christ himself, that gives us forgiveness and removes shame and takes care of us. You see how important it is to understand these principles? I want to encourage you to do in-depth on these things, the Old Testament, but the Levitical, the reasons why these five offerings took place are very important, and they're all completely and totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. And then it goes on, the last one that we'll talk about tonight, the guilt offering. It's the last. It's the fifth of the offerings. The guilt or trespass. I'm sorry, I mixed that in with the sin offering. They do overlap. But this shows Christ making provision for our failures along the way. Our failures along the way. Even today, as a believer, we need the guilt and trespass offering. I did. I mixed those two up. Forgive me. We'll have to change that later. But anyway, you got it. You can study it on your own. Guilt, trespass offering. It's for the things that we do, the things that we blow along the way. And Christ comes in and he makes provision for our failures. And this is 1 John 1:9, by the way. It's, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that is the guilt or the trespass offering. And it's kind of like I come before him every day on that one. And by the way, restoration comes immediately. He's my advocate. In chapter 2 and verse 1 of 1 John, he becomes my lawyer and attorney. And he says, you are righteous. Why? Because of the Lamb. Not because of anything I did to gain it back. It's because of the Lamb of God. You have forgiveness. This is our Christianity. You see here Christ there. It's the Lamb of God on our behalf. Behold the Lamb. I want to be careful of my time. We're only going to be going till about 11:30 tonight, and then, no, I'm just kidding. It's 7:34. We're doing okay. But behold. I don't know about you. What kind of things do you be when you behold something? When the word that is being used here, it's not complex, but the word behold, it just means like there's this compelling, drawing urgency to like focus on this one thing, behold, right? I mean the word, we know the word, even in King James, we don't use the word behold a lot. But we say, come over here and look at this. I remember on a negative side, 9/11 was probably the time that the world beheld, right? In New York City on 9/11, 2001. Everybody was glued. I don't know what time it was out here, like 6 a.m. or something like that. I don't know, I got calls. And I remember right where I was and fixated, couldn't concentrate on anything the rest of the day. It was all what was going on. That's a negative, right? Some of you guys have more positive things like football. Behold the game, right? You know, it's like, and it's like, I remember my dad beheld the game, right? He would behold the game. And like you'd walk in front of him, you'd get out of here, you know? There's some people, like I think Pastor Powell might be more like this. It's like he doesn't even see you walking through, you know? Behold the game. I'm sorry. I'm going to get in trouble for that one, though. This was like a long time ago, right? The pastor, no, I'm teasing. Pastor, I'm sorry. But he told a story before. It's like, you know, behold. And John is bidding us to behold the Lamb. When you behold something, you can't, you everything else kind of zeroes out. You can't, you lose focus on everything else. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing the capacity God's built in us, every single one of us, to behold the Lamb. If we can do it. And it's like, it's just, and it becomes a beautiful thing, by the way. Is it not just the concept of what he's become for us? The sacrifice, my sacrifice, my substitute, just to behold that. How can I not, right? And how can I not just live for the Lamb who became my sacrifice? How can I not just say, okay, remember Saving Private? You guys remember how many people watch Saving Private Ryan? It's one of my war movies that I really think, I've been told by World War II veterans that it's probably the most realistic, you know, movie that's ever come out on Normandy, and so on the campaign that took place there. But at the end, remember what as he was saluting, Ryan was saluting there in France. Remember what he said? He talked to his wife and he said, "Tell me I've been a good husband, right?" And he was just standing there, and she was like, "What?" And it was like, he was just like, it was kind of like he beheld what this sacrifice was for him, and it brought tears to everybody, and it changed how he lived. And that's the Lamb for us. Behold the Lamb. I'm going to focus on the Lamb. Listen, the more we focus on the Lamb, the less this world, it consumes us. The less anxiety, as Pastor said the other day, the less anxiety for the details of this life and the less harm comes upon my life. That when I behold the Lamb of God, it's an amazing thing. And I got to tell you, this is why I was stirred up a couple weeks ago when I read this devotional. I was like, I want to behold the Lamb. It's time for me to just zero in, focus in, and behold the Lamb of God and all the things that he fulfilled. You know, Jesus Christ said, I have not come to destroy the law, right? The Levitical offerings were all part of the law, but to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle, the whole sacrificial system was totally, totally, and righteously taken care of by Jesus Christ once when he died on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Remember, the veil was rent, the veil of the tabernacle where in the Holy of Holies, which was the thickness of one's palm, was torn and it became dark, and it was because of the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of God that did that and that provided that. It's because that system was done. Jesus Christ did it once and for all. And he satisfied and propitiated God the Father on our behalf. Amazing thing. So, anyway, this presentation had to take place. There was basically four parts that would take place. I touched on one. There'd be the presentation of the animal by the sinner. They'd bring them to the tent, to the entrance of the tent. There'd be the laying on of the hand and identification. And so the sins of the people were put onto the Lamb. And then there was the shedding of the blood that took place. And the animal, not just the Lamb, but the animal would be killed. Remember, spotless, blameless. And then that blood would be taken by the priests and brought into the Holy of Holies. And this process would take place time after time, year after year. The blood that was shed. Unbelievable. And then, as we said, presented to God. So I'm going to say it again, without the blood, there is no taking away of your sins. This is important, isn't it? It's not just, oh, Jesus died because he wanted to show you how sacrificial he is. Sacrificial in the sense of like loving, but he died so that all the substitution could take place for me to have life and fellowship with God again. It had to happen. All those offerings had to take place. And it wasn't just the death of the animal that made atonement for the sinner, but it was the willing laying on or transfer onto the animal that took place. And so that animal, I know I'm being a little repetitive, but I think it's important. So that animal will become a substitute. Behold the lamb, a substitute for you and for me. The lamb would come and all the sin would be transferred from the sinner to the animal, and all that guilt, the guilt that we have of sin, would be brought to the animal. And then the lamb would be delivered up for our transgressions. There's value in this, isn't there? This blows us away, I think, to see how specific God is as far as the sacrifice that was needed. So, and let's just go over a few scriptures and then we'll close it out. It says in Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered as a lamb for our offenses. And we know this portion, and this is what's saying, surely he hath borne. We could read the whole chapter of Isaiah 53 tonight, but I'm not going to do it because we don't quite have enough time. But Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, surely, listen now, he hath borne, right? The transfer took place. He hath borne our griefs. He has carried, the lamb carrying away our sorrows. He has, and we esteemed him, that is Jesus Christ, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded, right, for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace, there had to be chastisement in order for us to have peace, was upon him. And then it says, with his stripes you are healed. I know a lot of people theologically, use that to claim healing. But this was much more. Isaiah 53 is much more than healing in the atonement. It's what brings me and you to Jesus Christ. It goes way beyond physical. This is enough for me, by the way. I'll take a healing. I'll take a limb growing back. I'll take that. But you know what? This is enough. This is a miracle greater than any other miracle that could ever take place. The healing and the presentation of the soul to God, the sinner, the one who was a sinner, being brought into right relationship with God again. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like, and that's what we have. You say, no, not me, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. And that's something I think we wrestle. Yes, you are. You know why? Because the Lamb made you worthy to stand and be in the fellowship. The only way we can ever get delivered from all our sinful stuff that we all carry is to be in the presence of the Lamb, to behold the Lamb, to understand the Lamb. We're just kind of grabbing a little bit of it tonight, but just to understand the Lamb, we're going to be spending the rest of our life, we're going to, in Revelation chapter 5, John wept, but prior to, because there was nobody there to open the scroll, who was worthy? There was no one worthy. And he wept. We were talking about this the other day. Why did he weep? I don't really know, but I think there was something deep there. And then there was one standing in the midst that showed up. It was the Lamb of God. It was Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And you know what it says? He was the freshly slain Lamb of God. There'll be one in heaven that has the scars of bearing sin for the world, and that'll be Jesus Christ. We'll be holy. We'll have a glorified body. There'll be no sin. All the tears will be gone and washed away. And yet we will have the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, present with us for eternity to worship and glorify and exalt, right? Our due worship, it'll be to Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And so by his stripes we are healed. In 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins. There it is again, the Lamb. Bearing our sins, the transfer, right? that took place to the animal, which is a type. I want to make sure we all understand that. But it was the completion of that less than perfect sacrificial system. Good enough to cover sins, but this is the one who would take away the sins forever. It was more than just atonement, just covering. It would take away and it would remove our sin. He would remove our sins forever. Let's see here. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. By the way, that's the interpretation of Isaiah 53. Use scripture to interpret scripture. There's a lot of argument that goes around about this whole healing and the atonement. But this is scripture interpreting, that this was the sin bearer that was being spoken of. And lastly, in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. The just, the perfect, beautiful, spotless Lamb of God, the just for the unjust. And now we're just. And because of him, we've been made whole. We're righteous. You are righteous today. You just keep beholding the Lamb. When we behold the Lamb, you know, this world does. It just kind of slips away. When we behold the Lamb, you're going to be so overcome and humbled that it's really hard to be an arrogant person anymore when you behold the Lamb. You got to tend that. You have been accused of being arrogant before? Behold the Lamb. You have a tendency to get super distracted over it. Behold the Lamb. Behold. You can't do two things. Keep beholding the Lamb, and you're gonna experience healing. You got complex questions they have about your life. They're going to dissolve or be satisfied or completely dissolve when you behold the Lamb. You got areas of sin that just have plagued you. Get in the presence of the Lamb. This is, by the way, I believe this is part of the process. We're here tonight. We're hearing the word of God. We're beholding the Lamb. Good job. Good job that you got in front to hear the word of God. Not this crazy little guy, but to hear the word of God, right? It's the foolishness of preaching. But you came before, and it's one of the ways you cultivate beholding. And again, I want to emphasize, not Jim Cornwell, right? But the word. It's the word. And you hear, like we were saying last night in class, You receive the word of God, not as the word of men, as the Thessalonians did, but as the word of God. Well done. And I'm just going to say that to my brothers in Christ. Good job. And you that are listening out there, keep doing it, because deliverance will come because you're beholding the Lamb. And, you know, I'll tell you, it changes everything. In the devotional, it changes how you study. Studying the Word of God becomes a thrill when you're beholding the Lamb. Honestly. Being able to have capacity for your brother or somebody in the street becomes not a challenge anymore. How many people are like, I can't be around those people. It's just too frustrating. They are too irritable. Behold the Lamb. That goes away. And all of a sudden you have capacity to sit with people that you wouldn't have sat with before. And so on and so on and so on. And you'll have capacity to understand what Christ has done on your behalf so that you can freely you've been given, freely serve, you know, freely give. And it's an amazing thing. So just let's get focused. Just taking it away tonight. Oh, wow. The majesty of what Jesus Christ has accomplished through all that, the five offerings. We just touched the surface on those things. It is amazing. And we praise God tonight, right, for the Lamb. You see why Christianity is so unbelievably special in God's masterpiece of truth and redemption. And right, it's Christ. It's the Lamb. God, we just thank you for the Lamb. One day we're all going to, boy, there's going to be, I love Revelation 5, there's going to be hundreds and thousands of people and myriads of creatures, angels, just encircling the throne and the Lamb of God. And they'll be they'll be giving crowns and laying down crowns, and there'll be praise and worship in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. All around the Lamb of God. It'll revolve around the Lamb of God. And we just thank you for all that we've been given, God. We just want to go home tonight and just meditate on these things, behold the Lamb. And we ask that you'll do that in our lives. Just keep the Lamb lifted up. Let us be deliberate in holding up the Lamb too. And so I ask that you'll bless each one here. And again, bless the Rodriguez's, Lord. I just pray that you'll bless Katie and Dad and Mom as they go back, and just give them the presence that's needed. Maybe not even the words, just that presence, your presence, to support Katie and the kids. Just be with the whole family as they go back. And we pray for life out of this whole crazy situation, really crazy. We just pray for life. And I ask that you'll just do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. Fellowship. I think they're lightening up, by the way. Yeah, it's kind of cool. They're